We are joined by Fort A State Athletic Director Curtis Hammacky, who is hopeful. He's got his fingers crossed that we will have Fort A State basketball here soon. The 19th of November, Fort A State's first scheduled date, a home game. But it's going to look a lot different this year because of COVID. And Curtis, we appreciate you taking some time to join us this morning. Obviously, with no football, we've talked about this in the past, but looks like as of now, basketball is going to go. It's going to look different. But just to prepare to even play a game has been such a challenge and such a things you usually take for granted have not been able to be taken for granted this year. You guys have worked hard to even get this thing to go.
Yeah, it's certainly going to create an extreme level of appreciation, hopefully next year when we get back to normal, or whenever that day comes when it is back to normal. We're going to be very appreciative of the simplicity of putting on the events that we've done in the past, kind of second nature. And right now everything's magnified by 10 or 20 times, just all the protocols.
But probably the biggest thing, masks are going to be required. There's a lot of things that are going to be different this year. With the changes, is this a conference-wide? Is everybody kind of doing it the same way? Is each school kind of different? And I'm sure what every county's codes and all of their health requirements are has made this even more challenging because it's probably not apples to apples, so to speak. Everybody kind of has to work differently.
Yeah, that's a good point. But we're trying to unify as a conference as well. I think the first and foremost, that the disclaimer to say before talking about what we're going to try to do is that everything's subject to change.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to lay out a list of protocols for having basketball games with the understanding that, you know, in weeks or months ahead that things may change. But, you know, for example, to start with, I think one of the things that we want to make sure people understand is this is going to be a unique season and we're going to do things much differently than normal. And we want to assure everybody that, you know, going into the spring, we'll renew season tickets and everything for next year. People can get back into their regular spots and that type of thing moving forward. But for this basketball season right now, it's going to look different. But with the understanding that everything will go back the way it was as far as their tickets are concerned moving into the future.
Well, big question. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I was going to say, you know, the MIAA is putting a restriction. As a conference, we're going with 25% of capacity in our facilities at a max. So some schools are maybe still considering not having fans. We don't know that for sure. But by and large, the capacity is 25%, which is a little over 1,500 here. But I think that wasn't real bothersome to us because as we laid out the Coliseum and social distancing and skipping every other row and spacing people with the distancing downstairs and upstairs, we were just a little bit over that. So the 25% is pretty accurate for what we would need to do social distancing-wise in the Coliseum. So we're going to have it set up that way. It's going to be, you know, you imagine just downstairs with reserve seats of over, a little over 600. So we're down in the 150 to 170 downstairs that'll be available. So that's why we're not going to sell it in a season ticket package. We're going to do it week by week to give different people a chance to have an opportunity to get seats down there for a game because we're not going to be able to put them all back down there.
Well, you're kind of answering the question I was going to lead to because I've been asked that a lot. What will the capacity limits be? And I guess that's the benefit of Gross Coliseum. We love that venue. We think it's the best around. But its sheer size will allow maybe more fans than a lot of places will get just because you've got room to spread people out.
Yeah, but it'll look a lot different.
Yeah.
You know, a crowd of 1,500 in the Coliseum, normally we know what that looks like. This crowd of 1,500 would look a lot different. You know, people be higher, people be in the end zones, people be up in the rafters. So it'll be spread differently than the congested 1,500, which would all be right in the middle.
You mentioned no season tickets this year. You'll get back to that, selling them in the spring, and that's probably the big thing people are going to have to be aware of. I mean, you're not going to probably get the seat you've always had and maybe have had for 20, 25 years. You have to probably sit somewhere else to spread out. How will those be packaged? Groups of two, groups of four? How's that going to go about for those when it does come time to purchase the tickets for the games?
Yeah, well, first of all, upstairs will all be general admission, you know, and those will be $10 for adults and $5 for youth. But so those will all be general admission, and they'll be roped off every other. So, you just have to try to find people to go to the game with that you can that you're comfortable sitting with. Downstairs, they'll be grouped in seat packages of 2, 3, 4, and 5. And so we're going to encourage people to partner up. You know, you and I might buy a package of 4, for example, with our wives, and because we're comfortable sitting together. So we don't believe that our computer is going to allow you to go in there to a seat package where there's 4 seats. You're not going to be able to go in there and select 2, and then you're going to have to buy all 4 of them because that's the way it's going to be set up. So that's why we're going to want them to work together in purchasing those packages. And the reason for that is, obviously, if you go in there and take 2 of those, then you got no idea who's going to take those other 2 right next to you.
That's a very good point. And again, some of the changes folks are going to have to get used to. And we kind of touched on it. Masks will be required throughout the event. We're seeing that for Keisha postseason events. Everybody needs to mask up the whole time. Will fans be temperature checks coming in, or what's the protocol going to be for that?
No, we're going to ask masks be required. We ask everybody to check the. There's going to be an assumption of risk statement, you know, and we want people to be careful about what they're comfortable with and coming into the games. But we'll have the mask required, and you know, I get asked about that. How you going to monitor that? Well, you know, just like every place else, we're going to do the best we can. If we see people, you know, not wearing their mask, we're going to ask them to wear it because they are going to be required. It's not a recommendation. But that's not going to. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have some people fight us on that and not go along with it. But our intention is to have everyone masked up throughout the game inside the Coliseum, and we'll do our best we can to be the mask police. But we're going to rely on people's willingness to play by the rules.
We're visiting with Fort Hays State Athletic Director Curtis Hamicky, who is gearing up for the college basketball season. Tigers scheduled to open up at home on November 19th, talking about some of the changes and protocols that will go into this season because of COVID. I would imagine you're encouraging, and maybe you're doing it all online, but as many people to have tickets purchased in advance to just eliminate that transaction on game day.
You bet. And so what we're going to do is each Monday – we'll give our downstairs season ticket holders and our upstairs season ticket holders, the first shot at tickets, and our downstairs season ticket holders will have a shot of getting seats downstairs. Upstairs will our other season ticket holders will have a chance to get them for upstairs, just so that we don't sell out. And then on Wednesdays we'll open them up to the general public with what's left for that. We'll also have an allotment for students and, of course, the parents of our players and that type of thing. So trying to keep everybody in mind as to who we need to make sure we're taking care of in that regard. And so that process will take place the Monday preceding the week of games, and we'll start that each time. So, but what people have to understand, too, that we got to be aware of is that each Monday our teams, our men's and women's teams, our coaching staff, and all of them will be tested. So will our opponents. And so there is going to be the ongoing challenge and the possibility of games being postponed. So our testing protocol is going to be that we're to have our results in by Wednesday afternoon. And so by Wednesday evening each week, we'll be able to post on our website whether for sure that we're going to be playing the games or not. And I think another thing that goes along with that, Gerard, is that you know, we could have a situation where a women's game gets postponed, but a men's game doesn't. So, and what we've determined at this point is that if one game is played and the other one's not, we're going to leave their times the same instead of trying to adjust those because it's going to be last-second type deal. So if we had a men's only game, it would be at 7:30, for example, and a women's only game would be at 5:30. So we'll leave those times alone if we end up playing with just one gender or the other.
Yeah, it's an interesting point because you could have nights where, as you said, one gets postponed. And I know they're going to make every effort to try to reschedule the game that, for whatever reason, cannot be played at a later date.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll try to reschedule it. And that's what we'll do as far as we're going to have a no-refund policy just because of the uncertainty of all this. And we don't want to get into that too deeply if we don't have to. But we're going to allow those tickets. If a game's postponed and it does get rescheduled, then those tickets that were purchased would be usable at the postponed date, you know, for that same game. So we'll be able to use those tickets later on. We just don't plan to be able to refund. But that's going to be that layout. And just simply the fact that that's why we're not doing the season tickets, is there's just simply not enough seats to go around in terms of what was available in the past.
Well, and you mentioned the testing, and I've had, people ask, well, why is basketball going to be playing and football isn't? That element has changed dramatically from when football was about to start or potentially to basketball. Now, the ability to test, the ability to get the test back quicker, the ability, one, it's a smaller size team for you guys to handle the testing, just the athletic training staff and all that goes involved is going to allow, hopefully, for basketball to happen. But there's been enough changes from when school was starting and we're looking at the football season to allow this sport and the others this winter to play.
Yeah, and with basketball, we're allowed, what we're going to do is test once a week, so we'll test on Monday, get our results back on Wednesday, and that'll be good for the Thursday-Saturday game, and then we'll test again on Monday. Football was trying to get you within 72 hours of the game on Saturday, and the sheer magnitude of 100-and-some tests getting turned around in that amount of time was just a huge obstacle at that point in time. And you're right, that's all changed, and the landscape is changing constantly right now. And might change again after the election, but who knows in coming weeks how many more things are going to change as we move forward. But that's where we're just trying to stay fluid in the whole process and ask people's cooperation and understanding of we're just trying to do what we can. I know some people will be disappointed in this process, maybe not be able to get the seat they want or this or that in a given game, but we're gonna ask for patience and understanding in the process of doing the best we can to hold these games and get some fans in attendance.
No, hopefully those folks, yeah, exactly. One, by doing this, we're hopefully going to have games. The other alternative is no games. And two, there will be fans allowed. As you said, some places may not allow fans. So it's not the best world, best scenario. It will get better, hopefully, but it's better than it could be. And hopefully folks just have patience and understanding in that. One other area, and I know very popular, especially with the women's teams, is after the games, fans love to go say hi and wish them well and congratulate them. That's going to be changed in an effort because of the testing to keep players, coaches, everybody isolated away from, any potential contacts. That protocol is going to be completely different this year and pretty much no access to the players and teams after games.
Right. What's really weird is, of course we want the fans to be safe and we want all of them to come out okay, but we really have to keep the players and coaches isolated because of the weekly testing protocol. So we are going to have, for example, downstairs on the east side where the seating is right behind the teams, that'll be pushed back, several rows, and there'll be spacing there between the seats and the players, and we'll have an area roped off to the locker room to where there won't be access from the fans back there. So, one of the things we commonly have, Gerard's people get their exercise between games and walk laps, I chuckle, but they're not going to be able to access, walk through back there and go around that side that's in front of the locker rooms, and that's just going to be a restricted area. The Tiger Room won't be available. We're using that as a screening site for our workers. And, concessions will be limited. So a lot of changes. It's going to look a lot different. We're going to do that, take several of those precautions just to really keep people, unfortunately, away, from our players and our coaches and that type of thing, which is something we've all become accustomed to doing over the years, and letting the kids play on the court afterwards, for example, something we've always been proud of being able to do at our level that you can't do at, KU, for example. It's nice to be able to let the kids come out, but we're not going to be able to do that this year either. So there's a lot of restrictions involved right now where we just got to keep the players separate and the coaches separate from the general public in order to continue being able to pass their tests, hopefully, and be able to play.
Well, that's the bottom line, trying to keep them able to play and have the games go on. And I think most people, I mean, we've all had to adjust our routines because of COVID, and this is just another one. But as you said, keep our fingers crossed next season back to normal and can get back to the way things are done. But these are a few sacrifices everybody has to make to allow the games to go and to allow the games to go with fans in the stands. I think most people will be accommodating and willing to do that to watch their Tigers play.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. And, you know, we're looking forward to trying to do something. It's just going to be incredible, I think, these first few weeks to see, you know, you got four teams involved in a weekend. For example, we'll be playing Washburn and Emporia that first weekend, and you take their men's and women's teams from each of those programs and the men's and women's teams from us and men's teams, women's teams from Kearney. And so you go through those eight teams and hopefully have zero positive tests. How realistic is that? I don't know yet, but it's going to be really interesting as we start the process to see how successful we are able to be in getting games actually played.
Well, hopefully it goes well. We can get at least a good chunk of those in. And as you said, I think the biggest thing you said at the very beginning, everything's subject to change. It's a great plan. A lot of thought has gone into it, and it may have to be adjusted after 2 weeks just because of things that have popped up that either weren't thought about or, you know, didn't expect to happen. So that'll be the biggest thing, I'm sure, for not only the administration side for you, but for the fans and everybody involved, is this all could change. It's got to be kind of fluid as we've become with our lives right now.
You know, and it's funny, we talked about all the different things, and, you know, right now Oklahoma has a travel ban, and they've got to work through some issues. You know, we've got home games here with two Oklahoma schools in late December, the 18th and 20th, with Northeastern State and Rogers State, and, you know, hey, those games could end up getting flipped and us going down there, for example. I don't think that'll happen at this point in time, but there's a lot of things up in the air yet, and as far as the schedule goes, so we just have to wait and see. You know, we have cheerleaders and a band, and they'll all be upstairs, for example, and it's just going to look a lot different, but anxious to try to get it started.
No, hopefully all goes well. I know everybody's excited for some Tiger sports starting on the 19th with some four-day state basketball. We've covered a lot. Anything that we didn't hit that you want to touch on here in our time remaining?
No, I appreciate having the opportunity to talk about it, Gerard, and I like for our people to know that, you know, in the coming days, we're sending out an email, we're sending out a letter to our season ticket holders and those type of things. We'll do a release for the general public, and that all information should all be out there, and then we'll probably follow up later with a frequently asked questions, you know, try to get all these things answered, And again, I just ask for patience and understanding in this process.
And I'm sure if anybody has any questions, give your office a call. You'd be glad to explain everything and go over how it's all going to work.
You bet. We'll try to have as much of those questions answered in the information that we send out publicly, but then we'll go from there afterwards.
Well, Curtis, we appreciate your time today. Thanks for updating us. Appreciate all the hard work you and your staff and the whole conference has done to try to get some basketball in here starting in a few weeks. And I know I'm chomping at the bit. I'm sure Tiger Nation's chomping at the bit, ready to go watch the Tigers here in a few weeks.
All right, Gerard, we're looking forward to it. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about it.
All right, that's 4-Day State Athletic Director Curtis Hamakee.